Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hey, not surprisingly, the UN seeks to improve human rights and promote freedom. This is certainly a universal principle, but not in Red China. The CCP, together with other corrupt regimes, mostly dictatorships, deny the universality of human rights. The CCP claims that human rights are the internal affairs of each country, using this as an excuse for its monstrous repression of religious freedom, ethnic minorities, and dissidents. They claim creating jobs for their people makes them a promoter of human rights. And the CCP is working hard to promote its values in the UN and worldwide. We need to be careful. We know China is not our friend, and neither is the UN. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. What's new, Skip?
Well, Colonel, we are now the proud owners of a 15-year-old school bus. It was one of my wife's dreams to go ahead and buy an old school bus and then renovate it and convert it into an RV. And I have no idea how to do that, but I'm going to figure it out.
Well, but if it was her idea, then she should do that, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know that's going to work.
Yes, sir. Here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the threat of Iran. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Congressman and retired General Jack Bergman will discuss some key issues. Ray Lopez will present the Veterans of Foreign Wars Organization. Steve Wilson will share about helpvet.net. And Gil and Skip will present the border and a book.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or on Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First this, the Biden administration has put a hold on shipments of U.S.-manufactured ammunition to Israel for the first time since the Hamas attack on October 7th. It was clearly an attempt to control Israel's response as Israel continues their stated plan to eliminate Hamas. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu responded publicly stating that, quote, if Israel needs to stand alone, it will stand alone, end quote. This defiance in the face of Biden's red line will further exasperate the tensions between Israeli leadership and the White House. Biden had warned on CNN that if Israel proceeds with the invasion of Rafah, we would stop supplying artillery shells, bombs, and other offensive weapons. Netanyahu compared the war in Gaza to Israel's war for independence in 1948. Quote, back then there was also an arms embargo on Israel, but we won. Today we are much stronger. If we need to, we will fight with our fingernails, end quote. The stated reason to keep Israel from destroying the enemy that has been killing Jews for generations, I mean Hamas, is the concern for the innocent civilians, the people of Gaza. Yet they are not innocent civilians. They chose Hamas to lead them. The vast majority of them totally support killing the Jews. They do much to support Hamas terrorists. Just as we justifiably killed civilians when we bombed Germany and Japan in World War II, so Israel should attack Rafah and destroy Hamas and its supporters. This will truly end this war. Okay, Skip, what's next?
Well, Colonel, with the midday sun blazing, an experimental orange and white F-16 fighter jet launched with a familiar roar that is a hallmark of U.S. air power. But the aerial combat that followed was unlike any other. This F-16 was controlled by artificial intelligence, not a human pilot. And riding in the front seat was Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall. AI marks one of the biggest advances in military aviation since the introduction of stealth in the early 1990s. And the Air Force has aggressively leaned in. Even though the technology is not fully developed, the service is planning for an AI-enabled fleet of more than 1,000 unmanned warplanes to be operating by 2028. The AI-controlled F-16, called Vista, flew Kendall in lightning-fast maneuvers at more than 550 miles an hour that put pressure on his body at five times the force of gravity. It went nearly nose-to-nose with a second human-piloted F-16 as both aircraft raced within 1,000 feet of each other, twisting and looping to try to force their opponent into vulnerable positions. Vista flew its first AI-controlled dogfight in September 2023 and there have only been about 24 similar flights since. But the programs are learning so quickly from each engagement that some AI versions getting tested on Vista are already beating human pilots in air-to-air combat. The pilots at this base are aware that in some respects, they may be training their replacements or shaping a future construct where fewer of them are needed. But they also say they would not want to be up in the sky against an adversary that has AI-controlled aircraft if the U.S. does not also have its own fleet.
There is no question that AI presents a huge new way of viewing warfare, as do drones. Now, you can't control territory without troops on the ground, but their environment is changing. One thing is for sure, change.
And the top leader of the Navy announced that the service's future amphibious ship, a landing helicopter assault vessel, will be named the USS Helmand Province after an intense years-long campaign that characterized some of the deadliest fighting during the war in Afghanistan. Speaking at the Modern Day Marine Exposition in Washington, D.C., Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro described the name for the new America-class ship as in keeping with naval tradition of naming our Navy's amphibious assault ships after U.S. Marine Corps battles. Last year, the Navy contracted shipbuilder Huntington Ingalls Industry for $130 million to build the ship, USNI News first reported. It will be the third Flight II America-class amphibious assault ship after the Fallujah and the USS Bougainville, the latter of which was christened in December. Like the rest of Afghanistan, Helmand Province has been controlled by the Taliban since the U.S. military withdrawal from the country in 2021.
I support the Navy's tradition of Navy's naming such ships after our Marines' battles. But this also reminds us of Afghanistan, perhaps the most stupid abandonment of people, equipment, and property in our nation's history. Oh well.
And five vulnerable Democrats who voted against measures to strengthen border security in the past have seemingly changed their tune as they seek re-election to their post in the lower chamber. Following President Biden's signing of a $95 billion package with aid to both Ukraine and Israel last week, five Democrats, Representative Jared Golden of Maine, Marie Glusenkamp Perez of Washington, Mary Peltola of Alaska, Vicente Gonzalez of Texas, and Don Davis of North Carolina, released a joint statement agreeing with calls for Congress and the President to act and bring order to the southern border. Quote, "Beyond defending our allies, we strongly agree with the National Border Patrol Council that Congress and the President must act and bring order to the southern border," the lawmakers stated. Border Patrol records show the first 6 months of fiscal year 2024 had 1,340,801 total encounters, exceeding the first 6 months of fiscal year 2023, which set a record of 1,226,254 total encounters.
Well, I salute those brave and vote-hungry Democratic members of Congress for standing up against their party's strong position that we have wide-open borders while stating the border's secure. These illegal aliens provide nothing good for our nation, and many of them are criminals and are terrorists. We need more Congress critters to wake up and stand up here.
And President Biden's campaign is keeping the president's speeches and appearances short and sweet as Election Day nears, which his deputy campaign manager said was about quality over quantity on Saturday. During an interview with MSNBC on Saturday, host Michael Steele asked Principal Deputy Campaign Manager Quentin Faulks about the new strategy. Biden's aides believe smaller appearances would benefit him more than larger rallies or campaign events, according to NBC News. Quote, "To be honest, Quentin, I think that is a very smart idea," Steele said. "I appreciate that approach because it is a way for the president to hit with clarity, stick his points, and move on and not get lost and sidetracked," unquote. Quote, "Our campaign believes in quality over quantity. We believe that these touches, these smaller things that are getting directly to the point about what is going on in the stakes of this election are going to be easier for voters to tap into," Faulks explained. NBC News reported that the strategy had the appearance of a campaign that wanted to minimize Biden's public appearances due to concern over Biden making a mistake.
President Biden certainly makes a large number of mistakes when he's speaking. It's wise to keep him away from opportunities where he would have to answer questions that weren't submitted in advance and away from debates. Unfortunately, our commander-in-chief appears to be totally inept.
And the terrorist mastermind behind Hamas massacre of nearly 1,200 people, including over 30 Americans, is believed to be using hostages as human shields to hold off Israeli soldiers seeking to capture him in a tunnel deep below Gaza. The shocking information about Hamas kingpin Yahya Sinwar was revealed by General Jack Keane, Fox News Channel senior strategic analyst and former U.S. Army Vice Chief of Staff, in an interview with Sky News. Israel is offering a $400,000 bounty for the capture of Sinwar. In December, Israel dropped leaflets on Gaza offering rewards for information about the location of Hamas's top leadership. The citizenship composition of the hostages being used by Sinwar in violation of international humanitarian law is unclear. Five Americans are believed to be among the more than 100 hostages held by Hamas. Hamas invaded Israel on October 7, 2023, and as part of its slaughter of roughly 1,200 people, the terrorist group took over 200 hostages into Gaza. A November hostage deal secured the freedom of more than 100 hostages, mostly women and children, in exchange for Israel's release of dozens of Palestinian terrorists. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has announced a military operation into Rafah, the last major city controlled by Hamas and where Sinwar is believing to be hiding with his hostages. Israel's security objective is also to destroy the tunnels between Egypt and Rafah that enable Hamas to smuggle in weapons. The Biden administration has thus far opposed Israel's war plan to defeat Hamas in Rafah because of concerns for civilian deaths. Hamas retains four battalions in Rafah, coupled with thousands of terrorist fighters. While the Rafah operation looms, complex negotiations are unfolding in Cairo and may slow the pace of Israel's efforts to root out Hamas terrorists in the city populated with more than a million Palestinians.
This is nuts. The vast majority of Gazans are totally in support of Hamas. Most are terrorists. Gazans hate and want to kill all Jews. Hamas ruled Gaza, and all the people there want all Israelis dead and are a valid enemy of Israel. The world and the U.S. should be more concerned about the hostages. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CVAfrontlines.com. That's CVAfrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some war wisdom. Then we'll talk with Congressman and retired General Jack Bergman. At ease, troops, take a break. Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine vet Skip Correa with your home defense tip of the week. A man in Florida thought it was a good idea to show his pistol to a friend while inside his church. He fired the gun without intending to, and both he and his wife were taken to the hospital with wounds to the hand and the stomach. Sometimes people think carrying a gun is a cool novelty, but guard against this temptation. Only draw your firearm when you need to for self-defense. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the Frontlines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices way up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I recommend that you join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, now it's time for comments by the Colonel. In February 1977, I returned from a three-year tour in Germany, where I was the second in command of a mechanized rifle battalion. I reported to the U.S. Readiness Command at MacDill Air Force Base in Florida. There I was made the Middle East War Planner, a job I held for over 4 years. For two decades, the Shah of Iran had reigned as an absolute monarch. He stood with us against the Soviet Union. We supported him. The CIA trained his secret police. There was real opposition to the Shah in his country, and this led to him being overthrown by radical Muslims. We had a good-sized embassy there because of all the work we were doing with the Shah's government. Why we stayed there when the Shah was replaced by radical Muslims is a good question. After two unsuccessful attempts to take our embassy, the bad guys were successful on November 4, 1979. An attack on an embassy is an act of war. President Jimmy Carter tried negotiating to get our embassy people released, and a few were. He then tried a military rescue, which failed. It was a mess. U.S. Readiness Command should have been involved in all this, but for some reason we weren't. But I was sure paying attention. The current radical Muslim-controlled Iran has never honored diplomatic immunity. In 1983, Iran attacked our embassy in Beirut and our Marine barracks there. Indeed, Iran has attacked our and Israeli diplomatic posts off and on for decades. Most recently, last year when Iran helped plan an attack on our embassy in Baghdad. As a dictatorship run by the Muslim mullahs, Iran has become the center of terrorism that it is now. Their only real source of income is their oil. They pretend to be a normal nation, but virtually every terrorist group in the Mideast, and indeed in the world, gets funding and directions from them. Iran rarely attacks anyone openly. They send their terrorist groups, like they sent Hamas, Gaza, to attack Israel. Iran has zero credibility in crying foul over Israel's recent attack on their Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria, and the killing of their leader of their Revolutionary Guard Corps. Okay, for the past few decades, Iran has relied on surrogates, especially expendable Arab Shiite terrorists in Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, and Yemen, along with Sunni Arabs of Hamas, to do its dirty work of killing Israelis and Americans. It has normally egged these groups on and then denied responsibility when we or Israel responded. A second factor in their plan is that they've fooled Western governments and especially left-wing U.S. administrations by posing as a persecuted victim. Iran claims it is the champion of aggrieved Shiite, Arab, and Persian minorities, unfairly exploited by Israel, moderate Arab regimes, and rich Sunni Gulf monarchies. Now, those people are indeed aggrieved, but Iran does nothing but use them. And Iran hopes its pseudo-diplomatic outreach to the left-wing Western governments, coupled with its lunatic existential threats of unleashing terrorist attacks on its enemies, can coax or bully the West into granting it concessions, especially time to acquire a dozen or so nuclear weapons. Despite all this, Iran is very weak and very vulnerable, at least now. Did you notice that Israel and its allies shot down the recent nocturnal missile attack and drone attack? Many of the missiles reportedly blew up on liftoff in Iran or crashed in transit. Before our current president appeased Iran, the Trump administration had isolated and nearly bankrupted Tehran and its proxies. Nations that purchased oil from Iran were not free to do business with us. President Biden reversed all this. Indeed, we're now buying oil from Iran, financing their terrorism. Iran's Revolutionary Guard terrorist planners have been easy targets once we made them leave Iran. Iran's only real hope is to get nuclear weapons and with it, nuclear deterrence to prevent retaliation when they increase their terrorists and surrogate attacks on Israel, the little Satan, or our nation. They call us the great Satan. Or the West and the international commerce. I mean, do you think the Lebanese Hezbollah really want to take revenge against Israel on behalf of Persian Iran, only to see its Shiite neighbors in Lebanon reduced to rubble? Do you think the pro-terrorist, oops, pro-Palestinian, same thing, protesters here in the U.S. really want to show Americans that they created and celebrate Iranian attacks and a potential Iranian war against us, maybe a nuclear war? Do you think that Iran really believes that its sheer incompetence in attacking Israel warrants them a pardon, as if they should be excused for trying, but not succeeding, to kill thousands and thousands of Jews? So by unleashing a terrorist war in the Middle East and targeting the Israeli homeland, Iran may wake up soon and learn that Israel, the U.S., or both of us might retaliate against them for their half century of terrorist aggression, all of this mostly due to the indifference or even the delight of most of the rest of the world. Hey, it's very appropriate for us and NATO to fully support Israel as they attack and destroy the terrorist organizations operating in the Middle East. And much of Africa is a mess, too, in every way. They've got lots of terrorists, too. But that's a different story. It's time for America to truly see what's going on in the Middle East and to take appropriate action to help create an environment that just might permit peace there. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
For a few years now, we've been hearing about autonomous vehicles and aircraft. And if you're like most people, you're probably questioning the safety of flying in a plane or riding in a bus that doesn't have a human driver. To get on board, pun intended, you're going to have to trust the technology. And as a pilot, I don't think I'm ready for that yet. However, the Air Force is full speed ahead and plans to have more than 1,000 artificial intelligence planes in full operation by 2028. And as any good leader will do, U.S. Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall went out to prove that it's safe by riding in the cockpit of a fighter jet last week, flying over the desert in California, controlled completely by artificial intelligence. There are those that are saying this might be the biggest advance in military aviation since stealth planes were introduced in the 1990s. The AI-controlled F-16 that Kendall rode in is called Vista, and it flew him in maneuvers reaching over 550 miles an hour and putting pressure on his body of nearly five times the force of gravity. Of course, the Air Force had a backup by having a human-piloted F-16 flying alongside. In March, the Pentagon said it was looking to develop new artificial intelligence-guided planes, offering contracts to several private companies to compete against each other. The Collaborative Combat Air Force project is part of a $6 billion program to add 1,000 new Air Force drones. Those drones will be designed to deploy alongside human-piloted jets and provide cover for them, acting as escorts with full weapons capability. The drones will also have the ability to act as scouts or communication hubs. You know, I just keep thinking that the Star Wars movies just may have been a little bit closer than reality than I ever really thought. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. That's good. I appreciate you, man. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Congressman and retired General Jack Bergman. Then we'll discuss the veterans of foreign wars with Ray Lopez. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease.
Veterans have unique health care needs from their time in service. They deserve access to timely and quality care.
Concerned Veterans for America continues working to get veterans the care they have earned.
We were instrumental in getting the VA Mission Act signed into law, and we fight every day for more reforms that expand healthcare access and options for veterans everywhere.
Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. So it's an honor to welcome back to the show Congressman and retired Marine Lieutenant General Jack Bergman. Jack is the highest ranking veteran to ever serve in Congress, and we need a lot more like him. Welcome, Jack. Thanks for joining us again.
Hey, Denny. Always great to be with you and with the troops who are listening.
Hey, yes, sir. Jack, do give us a quick review of your time in uniform. You were both active and reserve, right?
I was. From 1969, I literally graduated from college and went right into active duty in the Marine Corps, completed flight training, was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, After about 3 years after that, decided to leave active duty, but stayed in the reserves and basically commanded at all levels in the reserve component, became a general officer in 98. And after 9/11 was recalled to active duty for 7 years. So from 1969 to 2009, I was either wearing a uniform full time or part time. But I was blessed to have great Marines and sailors and civilians, and in some cases in a joint command, soldiers, sailors, airmen. I had a chance to work with all over the world. So that's kind of a thumbnail of my time in uniform.
So it sounds like you weren't bored.
No, I was always energized by two things. Number one, the mission, whatever the mission was, and number two, the people that I was blessed to work with in accomplishing that mission. We've got the finest men and women in the world in the United States military who choose to serve our country, whether it be full-time, whether it be in a reserve or guard capacity. But the men and women who have sworn the oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, they're the kind of folks that I live for and work for every day.
Yes, sir. Couldn't have said that better. Jack, I consider our open southern, I guess southern and northern borders, the biggest catastrophe that's happened to our nation in my lifetime, maybe in history. I don't understand why anybody sees anything good for our country that could come out of these millions of people who are unchecked. We don't know anything about them. They're just here. What are we doing about that? And is there some good side to that that I've missed?
Well, number one, you know, the short answer is the way it's currently being lack of administrated by the Biden administration, it is like having an open perimeter in your battle space where the enemy are just, you know, coming through the wire unopposed. The Biden administration has chosen, if you will, to use an open border to allow whoever wants to, and I'll say the word, infiltrate our country. And what the American people that I talk to, they're very unhappy with how this has played out, because we have immigration laws and policies and procedures in place to enable good people who want to come here legally to do that. In fact, one example of a policy in place that the Biden administration has chosen not to enforce is the Remain in Mexico policy, which simply stated is that you come to the border, you file your paperwork, and then you remain in Mexico until you're called in for a, you know, an interview, a hearing, whatever it's going to be. The president has all the legal authorities he needs to, when I say close the border, that doesn't mean close everything. It means close the border to funnel people to points of entry so that they can legally come here. The only thing I can think of is that this is a ploy by the Biden administration to buy votes, because we're seeing in different states where these folks have been flowing to, we're seeing efforts to get these folks registered, get on all sorts of government aid, whether it be Medicare, whatever. But this is a move of the left to gain control of the election process by enabling these people to come through. And I know that sounds a little political, but it's the reality of what we're seeing, because we've got right now people from roughly 68 different countries coming through the southern border. So you tell me, are these all good guys or bad guys? I got a hunch the bad guys are kind of, you know, rendezvousing at some point down in the triangle and coming up as little herds to gain access to the U.S. And we, in military terms, we don't want to have snipers in the wire in our own compound here, which is the inside the borders of the U.S.
Yes, sir. I agree totally with you. We're not ever going to be anti-immigrant. One of the things that I learned when I was teaching the Constitution was we're a nation of laws. We have laws that say how you legally enter our country. Our government isn't obeying our laws. And as you pointed out, we don't know who's here. I mean, if I was running a country, any country anywhere in the world, and I hated America, and I saw that happening, I'd be sending people over to get them inside. Why would not our enemies be doing that? So I think your points are well taken, and I'm very concerned, and I'm sincerely hoping that that can all this can be stopped. But even if we stop it, then we've got to live with these millions of people that we don't know who they are, or where they are, or what they're doing. So this is going to be an issue for decades, I think. Does that make sense?
Well, it is. And let's face it, we have to have an administration here in the White House that will actually lead by enforcing the laws and the rules for the safety and security of all our citizens who are here. Because again, as I'll reiterate the point, these are not all good guys coming through the border. We are being infiltrated by whether it be cartels, whether it be extremist organizations, and we don't even know how many people we haven't, you know, processed, if you will, to identify the gotaways, if you will, that weren't apprehended when they crossed the border. So we've set up our own powder keg here. You know, this is Law Enforcement Week here in D.C. And I just, my first meeting this morning was with sheriffs and police and all that, and their concern for the safety and security of the citizens in their county or city or whatever it happens to be is marked by the continuing expanded influence of the cartels, whether it be in human trafficking, whether it be in fentanyl. I mean, God knows how many Americans we lose every day to overdoses of fentanyl. And the ones really making money in this whole deal, really making money, are the cartels. So the Biden administration's failure to do its job is basically enriching and emboldening the cartels to try even different things to, again, subvert our borders.
I wish that weren't true. And my son has recently retired from the police department, so I am very much plugged into standing with our law enforcement people who now have to deal with all these people and all the stuff they brought in and all the whatever. You know, I'm sure a significant number of these people that have come in are just innocent people who are looking to go someplace where they get some food or something. But if only 1% are thieves or bad guys or terrorists, that's a lot. And it's our law enforcement and probably our military is going to have to deal with them.
Yep. Or when you think about it, to go out, you've seen it in different states that these folks are squatting in people's homes and the people do not have the ability to evict them. The police can't come. So how would you feel, any of your listeners feel, if you came, whether it be to your home or maybe your cabin in the woods somewhere, and you found folks living in it? What would you do? I know what I'd do, but yes. The point is I live in the UP.
Okay. And I think as a 6'3" Army Ranger, I know what I'd do. They'd find themselves outside, but again, that could put me on the wrong side of law too, couldn't it?
Yeah, yes, it could. And that is, you know, when we talk about the consequences of our actions or inactions, now we're looking at the second and third order of effects of those decision or indecision. And that's what we're dealing with. And it only gets more complex the farther we go. So, you know, we don't have any option, I believe, in November, other than to change administrations. I'll just leave it at that.
Well put, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. There's more to discuss about our nation's challenges, so we'll talk about Israel next. And Congressman Bergman is going to stay with us. We'll be right back.
Fresh, flash, frozen, from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Jack Bergman. General, Israel is, or I guess the Mideast involving Israel and Iran and all its surrogates, specifically Hamas. What a mess. But what I don't understand is Hamas, including Gaza, because the Gazans elected the Hamas in, and 90% of them support Hamas, so they're not two different things. They're the same people. They've been killing Jews, Israelis, for generations, and they've taken hostages, and the world's upset because Israel's fighting back, not because the hostages have been taken and many of them might be dead. That, to me, is a huge issue that's going to affect us one way or another. Do you agree?
Well, the short answer is yes, especially in the world here in the 21st century, and the ability for different entities, and these are violent, VEOs is now they're called, violent extremist organizations. And when you call it like it is and name it like it is, Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Houthis in Yemen, they are all Iranian proxies. So they are funded, they are to an extent trained by the Iranians. So when we keep it specific in this area as it surrounds Israel, and Iran is the sworn enemy of Israel, number one, but the U.S., number two.
Yes, sir.
And I could give you a long history lesson, if you will, here on how we got this way, but we're not going to go down that road today, other than to say that, number one, Israel has a right to exist. Israel has a right to defend itself. And the heinous attack, the barbaric human behavior that occurred on October the 7th and shortly thereafter is reprehensible beyond any moral point. Whether you have a religious, whether you have a law, whether you have whatever it is heinous human activity and can only be answered one way. And that is you have to do everything you can to eliminate the cancer of Hamas. And one of the ways you eliminate cancer is you treat it with chemo. In this case, that chemotherapy creates the environment for hopefully the Israeli and Americans who are still held hostage to be freed and allow the innocent people, Palestinians in Gaza, who are under the thumb of Hamas and don't have a vote. They don't have a choice. They are just stuck in the middle. But the point is, unfortunately, Iran still continues to fund, train, basically, as we would say, you know, train and equip in the military, Hamas and Hezbollah. And you have people who are kind of playing a dual, you know, the what we used to call the spies, you know, what went both ways.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the Qataris who are playing that role and providing shelter and operating territory for Hamas leadership in Qatar.
Yes. So what your bottom line here is we're saying it's a mess. Is that a fair statement, sir?
Well, it's worse than a mess. It's an evil mess because, you know, when you think about, again, historically, think of World War II. We, the United States, was attacked by Japan, which drew us into World War II. In the end, the Allies prevailed and Germany surrendered, Italy surrendered, Japan surrendered and sued for peace. There were things were signed, negotiations were put into place, and that is not the goal of Hamas. That is not the goal of Iran. And quite honestly, that's not even the goal of Putin and Russia and North Korea when you kind of round out, and that doesn't even include China. So Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, they want dominance. They don't want anybody to sue for peace. Their goal is to dominate. And guess who they'd like to dominate? The number one country in the world. And we're number one because we have the biggest heart. And that's us in the United States of America. We come to the aid of others for centuries. When people couldn't defend themselves, we were the country that sent supplies and, most importantly, the blood of our nation, the young men and women in uniform, to defend the interests of others. And that's not Hamas's goal. That's not Hezbollah's goal. That's not Iran's goal. And that's not any of the others, picketed, I already mentioned.
No, sir. And a ceasefire is only means Israel stops shooting at them for the time being until they regroup so they can attack Israel again. They've never stopped attacking Israel. And as you pointed out, Israel's the little Satan. We're the big Satan. The fact that we haven't been specifically hit yet doesn't mean anything. We're going to be, in my opinion.
Well, we run extreme risk that by not responding to our allies' needs in the Middle East, in this case, Israel, we then embolden actions here on our own soil by those terrorist groups. The only thing these people understand is a show of force and a determination by us as the United States and our allies that we're not going to allow this to happen.
Yes, sir. And I don't think we're showing them that right now.
Well, we have it at, if you remember, again, for those World War II scholars, Chamberlain tried to appease Hitler.
Yes.
And you see how that worked out. Appeasement does not work. Never has, never will.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. We're talking with General Jack Bergman. Jack, we've got a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about special ops for a minute. I know that's something you're interested in.
Yeah, Congress, I've got the gavel, which means that I'm the subcommittee chair on armed services for intel and special ops. So in the middle of March, I led a congressional delegation, and we flew to the Philippines, spent a couple of days there, went out to the southern areas, and we didn't stay in Manila and eat food. We went out and ate some MREs with our special operators down in Mindanao. Got a good update on what our Marines and our SEALs and our Green Berets are doing down there working with the Philippine Armed Forces. And then we flew up to Taiwan and spent a couple of days there. Had a chance to meet with the outgoing president, President Tsai, and the incoming president for Taiwan, President Lai, and had some good meetings and really kind of opened up our eyes to what China is really doing and the aggressive nature that they are exhibiting in what we would have called back in the Vietnam days, the South China Sea, if you will. I think maybe we should recall it the West Philippine Sea now, because the Chinese Communist Party, again, and whenever I talk about China, just remember, it's not about the Chinese people. It's about the Chinese Communist Party and their aggressive actions in that area, because 80% of the world's trade goes through, maritime trade goes through that part of the world as it comes around and, bends around through Indonesia and heads on over to India and Africa and all that. But I tell you what, the Philippines are under the Marcos Jr., the new president of the Philippines. They have taken a turn away from China and are coming back in building relations with the United States. That's a healthy thing. And the previous president, Duterte, was heading towards China. I'm not sure if he was clueless or what, he got sold a bill of goods, but he's gone. So the activity and the cooperation between the Philippine Armed Forces and ours, especially on the special ops side, is really outstanding. And Taiwan is also building their unique capabilities, if you will, in defense of their island.
By the way, we missed the earthquake in Taiwan by 3 days. We were out of there about 3 days before it happened. But it was a great update for us on the both, you know, it was Democrats and Republicans that go on these CODELs together. So it's not just one party. These are folks who sit on the Armed Services Committee. So, by the way, the next CODEL we're planning is going to be in August, and we're going to Finland. Probably just stop by Sweden, our two newest members of NATO. But you know, Finland has like an 800 plus mile border with Russia.
Yes, they do.
So we're going up there to see what's going on there too. So that's kind of been my current activities with armed services.
That's great, because it's very clear our enemies know we're weak. We've got to get strong, and part of strong is working well with our allies. And that really means communication, among other things. Thank you, Jack. Thank you for your great comments today. I really appreciate you and your service to our nation. I'm glad we're friends.
Well, hey, Denny, brothers forever, we wore the cloth of our nation.
We did indeed. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing the veterans of foreign wars with Ray Lopez. Then we'll learn about helpvet.net with Steve Wilson, and Gil and Skip will present The Border in a Book. And we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's time to do pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe 20 push-ups more. Then grab some protein, rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.